You're listening to Live Free, Think Free on 90.1 KPFT Houston, your home for uncensored news and underground music since 2011.
What up?
What's going on, guys?
Welcome to Free Thinker. Wait, no, Live Free, Think Free, no longer Free Thinker Radio. I'm Derek.
I'm Micah.
Johnny.
Johnny's back.
We're all here.
We know those of you who've been watching on BitChute wondering where the heck Johnny's been. Johnny, where have you been?
Hiding.
In a hole, writing music and playing music.
And getting married?
Yeah, I got married.
Johnny got married.
And some people were there.
And I went to Mexico. Going to be back in a week or so, or 2 weeks, two, 3 weeks.
And we're getting ready to end the year, of course, with you guys. We do this every week for those who have not been paying attention. Micah and I have been broadcasting since 2011. Johnny's been with us for, like 5-6 years at least, something like that. And, and so we do this every week. We're live right now on the Conscious Resistance on Facebook, on YouTube, on Odyssey, on Rockfin. We're also live on the Live Free, Think Free page on Facebook as well. This gets posted on BitChute, on Spotify, so many other places.
We're somehow associated with KPFT.
And we're loosely associated with 90.1 KPFT.
Shout out.
And you can find our website at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. So we try to bring you guys informative information every week. We've got a number of stories to cover.
Music.
In music, of course, underground. The mantra of Live Free, Think Free is underground music, uncensored news. So that's what you can expect from us. And also today's show, since it is the last one of 2022, we'll be doing a little bit of reflecting on what's coming up for 2023. But let's just dive into it. I know we got some stories to cover, Johnny, locally. So we'll start with that one that you found, which is another unfortunate story in the kind of, what is it? Is it an epidemic?
Or is it a drug war?
I would call it an epidemic of sorts, you know, maybe not the traditional kind that people would be, normally think of. But yeah, we're talking about fentanyl again. And I thought this story was like a good one always to get into at this time of year when people are going out for New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
And maybe they partake, maybe they don't. But like, make sure you talk to your loved ones who are in that world. Remember that abstinence isn't always going to be something that they think of. And there are, there are testing kits and things like that to avoid finding yourselves in a situation where this story hits a little closer. But just to read the title, it's from Fox 26. Fentanyl seized in Houston is enough to kill everyone in Houston and the surrounding areas. Just for reference, that's like, 4 million people?
Yeah.
Give or take.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's crazy. The Drug Enforcement Administration is calling fentanyl the deadliest threat facing the country. It's such a growing problem in Houston as fentanyl seized by the DEA doubled this year. The amount of fentanyl found and confiscated by the DEA in Houston alone is alarming. It was actually enough to kill every single person in the Harris County and metropolitan area. So, overdoses have skyrocketed. Because so many people are dying from fentanyl, the DEA is cracking down on dealers. This year, the federal agents have taken 7.8 million deadly doses of fentanyl-laced pills and powder off the Houston streets. Wow. That's just the Houston streets. That's, like, really crazy. So, the article gets into, talking about it. I think a lot of us are hopefully aware that, fentanyl is essentially 50 times or so stronger than heroin. It can be pressed into pills that look like Xanax. It could potentially even be in other powders like cocaine and such things. So just be careful out there and be aware. It's in Houston. It's in a lot of other cities. So,
and I think one of the things about it is the fact that it is made to look like other drugs. And, I think that if you don't know where something's from, which, you probably don't need to be doing it anyway, period. But if you don't know where something's from and you're on the edge of something, lately I was just thinking how important a message like this was. So I'm glad you brought this. It wasn't so much on fentanyl, but just the little things that people, like the drunk driving on New Year, this sort of thing, like maybe one more voice saying something that the cabs are free or whatever could do something. And I do appreciate this story because it's an example of such a story. But I'm like, what happens? You get some kids who don't know anything about drugs and they get a friend who goes somewhere and summons up the courage to ask some guy who looks like a thug if he can get, say, drugs. And then that guy tells them, oh, I can give you Xanax. They heard about Xanax from a big brother or a cousin or whatever, an uncle it may be, or in a magazine or in a film or all kinds of things, right? It's out there in pop culture all over the place. So they think they're getting a Xanax, and their friend Bobby from school got it for them. And if you're one of these people that like feels like they're that far removed away from what I just said, maybe you need to be a lot more cautious about what you have and suspect if it is what it's made up to be. Maybe it's like a Federal Reserve note that's made up to look like money. Maybe it isn't Xanax. Maybe it isn't Percocet. Maybe it isn't these things you're being told it is. Maybe it's death in a little bitty pill.
Yeah. Just be careful out there. Absolutely. And remember that, you know, whether or not you have maybe somebody who you would consider uses in your house, having Narcan or in your house is considered, should be considered first aid. I feel like there could be a million situations. Well, not, there's only really one situation where you need it, but like, you know, you never know if you could be the person that saves somebody's life just having that in your cabinet, just sitting around. So
absolutely
something to think about.
Yeah. I do notice that they report a lot of the fentanyl seizures in these sorts of numbers. Cause I think I saw another one about it in how much was seized in California recently or in the last year, being enough to kill the whole country. And you know what's really sad too, and I mentioned this a little bit before the show, is fentanyl's kind of getting the rap of a pit bull or something, right? Fentanyl is a useful drug. It's in ambulances. They use it as a painkiller, et cetera. They say there's nothing that just works better. But the problem is it's so precision that your average, you know, what do you call them, chemist that's making this crap, you know, isn't going to hit the right target, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I want to mention one more thing before we jump to the next story. It says here at the bottom of this article that if you search hashtag just know on Twitter, you'll see the DEA's post, the Drug Enforcement Agency, about younger people who've died from fentanyl poisoning. And one thing I'll say is like, that's interesting. I want to check it out. But also at the same time, I do think it is important for us, and I'm just saying this on like principle, not based on any specific leads or anything, but that it is important that we question government narratives as well. Obviously, we know people who do and have died from fentanyl and will with the direction it's going. But I do think it's just like, for example, like you said, hearing another story of like enough fentanyl to kill the whole country, enough fentanyl to kill Houston, it definitely creates a scare and some awareness. And in this case, we're turning that into positive conversation. But I could also see how that feeds government drug war propaganda as well, you know, about like why we need them and, doing different things.
Yeah, I think
why the DEA needs a bigger budget and stuff like that.
If you want to get on that side of it, mentioning decriminalization of drugs and drug users is important for these things because that does give them access to things like testing. Like I know specifically, like even in I think people have tried to bring drug testing kits into festivals in Houston and America. And they say that kind of like encourages drug use and things like that. But I don't know. Yeah. It's obviously always going to be taboo, but
there's different sides of the debate.
Yeah, you know? Of course.
There's some people, like you said, who are for it. I happen to be one of the people who do think, and I think the research has at this point shown in places like Portugal and others that, giving people options for treatment when they want it instead of just throwing them in prison and giving people opportunities like needle exchange programs. People worry. Exactly. I think the extreme end is people are like, which I definitely understand, worry like, oh, this is going to turn into San Francisco where people are just shooting up in the middle of the streets because they have such lax drug laws that it is like that. You can literally just get away with doing drugs in the street. And so people don't feel safe to be walking down the street with their kids or something like that because people have taken some parts of the country have taken the drug laws in that direction. Whereas I think you don't have to endorse it or condone it, but being able to give people drug testing kits, places to safely do drugs instead of having to hide in alleys or like, you know, because the things sort of overlap, and I'm done with this after this, is like overlap of drugs, unsafe sex, and like uncleanliness and in poverty as well. Those things, when they come together, I mean, it's just not good for anybody, right? Because people get STDs, people get pregnant and wedlock, people like
everyone poverty. Can agree that that's a problem that's so extremely nuanced that, you know, throwing whatever positivity towards it we can is always good, but like ultimately it's a very complex problem that would take a full-on community to solve.
Absolutely. One last thing I'd like to say about the drug kits, by denying the drug kits at your event or at a festival, you're not advocating not using drugs. You're advocating reckless drug use. Yeah. Whereas, you know, accepting a drug testing kit, if anything, advocates using your mind.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to be safe. Guys, you're listening to Live Free, Think Free. We do this every week. You can find us at thehoustonfreethinkers.com. We're going to continue on with some more stories. We're hitting a couple local Houston, Harris County stories, and then we're going to talk about some big picture things. We'll be reflecting on 2023 coming in, and we'd love to hear from you guys wherever you're watching or listening. What are your predictions for 2023? You see good things in your personal life and the bigger picture? I mean, I can say for me, I'm anticipating a lot of awesome growth in the next year. And I don't know about the rest of the world. I think some of it's going to look crazier, but I feel like I've got a good year ahead. And I'm hoping the same for everybody else, whatever you got on your plate. Micah, you wanted to get into this one?
Yeah, somewhat. It's a pretty quick one. And it's just for Harris County people out there and people near Harris County. I guess you could drive across the county line and get yourself a pet. Harris County Pets will basically host a mega adoption because they've been flooded with people who just give their pets away. It's kind of sad. So they're waiving all the fees. So you would get a dog that's been, you know, I guess you would say fixed. And I'm just going from my memory of the article. It says that they're trying to find homes for 7,000 animals. Thank you, Derek.
Oh, my God.
And so, yeah, it is a pretty good deal if you get an animal that's been taken care of in all the ways that it's expected to be taken care of like that. And you don't have to pay anything. And these are animals that need adoption. So I wanted to make sure I shouted out that it's Harris County Pets, and they'll come with vaccines. You can take or, you know, that for what it is. But these are dogs and animals that need love, too. It isn't their fault they got, you know, chipped and vaccinated. Might be good for them, you know, honestly. So that's going to be going on all this weekend.
I'm going to fact check you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am, too. If you want some pets, yeah, I mean, and definitely anybody who's lived in or downtown Houston area, especially on the East End, you know that there's a lot of animals just in Houston generally that are in need of some support.
I don't think you should feel bad about getting a pet from there, because you're doing the community a real service. You're getting that service on the pet before you get it. But these animals need homes, and the only other thing they get is probably, you know, not a very long life. So with that being said, if you're looking for something new this year, here's a New Year's puppy. I mean, come on. What could be better than that? Free. So maybe go look at them if you're thinking about it. Get an idea.
What's better than
if you go look, you're coming home with one. That's the problem. If you got to get them in the
door. I always thought it was kind of messed up just to go, you know, people like love animals, right? So sometimes people want to just go look at pets without if they're not even meaning to get them. But this kind of messed up, you know, because those dogs, like, just think about that. You're just like waiting. It's like, oh my God, here comes a human. And they're looking at you and they're picking up and playing with you. And for them, it's just like, oh, we're on the way to grocery shop. We decided to check out the animals, like, just for fun. It's like, damn, you're fucking with their heads, dude.
It depends on the pet.
You ever seen these sad dogs at some, like, or the cats, like, they're like waiting, like, hey.
There are some that do seem to recognize the pattern
that they see.
But why do they assume it's a good thing? You know, why do they assume that? Right? Why? How do they know that these people aren't just taking them away?
Maybe they don't. They're just like, they're gonna feed me.
Maybe one animal there is taking it that way. You know, but yeah.
All right, let's go to the next story, guys. I got one that is this is picking up where Micah and I were talking last week about. Maybe it was a week or two ago about. This story of facial recognition, which is a perennial ongoing story, and you're going to hear us talk about this until there's no way to avoid it, and it's everywhere, which is pretty close. This article I wrote for The Last American Vagabond, I called it, in 2023, it'll be nearly impossible to avoid facial recognition in the U.S. And as I said, it builds off of a story we saw from the Washington Post a couple weeks ago that we covered, where they talked about how the TSA is now going to start these new facial recognition tools at 16 airports.
It's a good time to get banned for the airport.
I've already experienced it last time I flew.
Well, so they've been testing them in Houston for a little while.
We walked right on the airplane because of it. Like, they had our IDs. Okay. And then they just saw our face and like we went on.
See, and that's what I'm saying.
I was like, is there any way around this thing? Like, oh God.
Well, this is one of the things I want to get to in this article. Is they claim that there's supposed to be signs posted that make it clear you don't have to participate. Oh, yeah. But so what you're talking about is different from this one. And this is what the whole goal of this article.
Besides, they already have your picture though.
Is to show people just how many layers of facial recognition this are, right? This is the Washington Post reporting in the mainstream news saying 16 major airports are going to start doing this thing where you go up to the counter, you show your ID, and then they take a picture of your face with this other machine, and then their database compares the two, which is basically they're trying to get their systems caught up with the ID
calibrated.
And then, oh yeah, here they are. We got them now logged, connected together between ID and face. And so that's like the thing. And they're testing in 16 airports, but they're expecting it to be nationwide. Whereas in Houston and a couple other airports,
why don't they just put it? They've been
testing
it
for a few years, and like they've been testing it in the international ones in Houston for a couple of years.
When I went to Mexico. Yeah,
so they did that. And they've been slowly like, oh, it's only in this terminal for this G through whatever. But you can see it increasing. And now they're coming out and saying, no, we're doing it in 16 airports. That one doesn't even include Houston. But as I put in this article, it was like the article from the Washington Post is a little deceptive because they talk about it as if it's not happening in all these other ways. Right. And so besides this program, and they talked to a lawyer. He was the only like a guy that had a negative opinion. I'm surprised they actually include him. His name's Albert Foxconn with Surveillance Technology Oversight Project. He said that, quote, there is no place more coercive to ask people for their consent than an airport. And then he continued, what we often see with these biometric programs is they are only optional in the introductory phases. And over time, we see them becoming standardized and nationalized and eventually compulsory. And what I wrote was that this rings true in light of other TSA programs like taking your shoes off at the airport or choosing between the body scanner and pat down. Those things haven't gone away at all.
You're a captive audience. What are you going to do? Miss your plane? Exactly. Miss your cab?
They know
get
that
detained?
They
tased?
Know that you have to do it. So then it goes on. It says, this is how they describe it. So you walk up, you scan your ID, then they ask you to stare in the camera for 5 seconds, and then they compare the two. It's called one-to-one verification. And this started, surprise, surprise, after COVID-19, after Reagan Airport started using this to detect COVID somehow with facial recognition. And they promised they're not building.
That makes sense.
Look,
that
TSA totally promises they're not building a database of IDs, of face IDs. TSA promises. That's not what this is about. They're saying they're not storing any of this data.
That's what I was joking about earlier, because they're like, you can opt out. Because like that's what I was joking. Like they're like, you can opt out of this. I'm like, but you already got my photo when I was walking around. You already had it.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, well, they're scanning it in the Houston airport. And the is that the moment you fly into the airport?
Why do I have to talk to you?
They will just not tell you that we used it.
Well,
and be obstructed only if we don't fit.
If you'd prefer us to do it in secret, that's fine. Let us know.
I've seen them discuss in some of these programs where the moment you drive onto the airport property, cameras will be able to scan within the car and detect if there's anybody on the property who doesn't have a scheduled flight and isn't there like to drop somebody else, so that they could quickly come and say, sir, why are you here? You know, what are you doing on the premises?
I like doing that.
And of course they're selling it to people as convenient. Like you said, you don't even have to stop at the check-in line anymore. You just walk straight to your thing because we scanned your face.
Yeah, because holding your ID was such a time-consuming process. Like that.
But so here's,
I've always had so much trouble pulling that out of my wallet.
Here's Jason Lim from the TSA telling the Post, none of this is mandated. And he claims you do have the option to opt out, but you still need a present ID. And he said that there's supposed to be signs informing you of your rights. But again, we've seen this in the past with the body scanners. It's like, if they have it, it's put off to the side. It's some small thing.
On the back.
Post-it note.
They're not in any hurry to tell people they have a right to opt out of these things, right?
They're not in a hurry to tell anybody they have any rights at all.
Let me show you two more components about this. Because that news has already been out in the mainstream. Everybody has already heard that the TSA is doing this in 16 airports. But the point of me writing this article is to try to provide a little more context, as this next section says. It's not just the TSA, though. In December 2020, now, who was president then? Oh, Donald Trump. So that means this was happening in Donald Trump's presidency as much as Biden's presidency. Right before Trump left office, he gave the Border Patrol this new expanded facial recognition software. And a month before that, they proposed a new rule that gave them an expanded use of facial recognition at the border. The ACLU and a few other groups tried to sue, and I don't know if they've succeeded or if it's still in the courts, but they said this would threaten the right to privacy and being anonymous. And the Border Patrol made it clear, this is in December and November 2020, that their intention is to collect the face print of nearly every single non-U.S. citizen who enters or exits the United States, and this applies to children. This will be stored on a database for up to 75 years. This could then be used by the Department of Homeland Security, foreign governments, federal, state. And the ACLU at the time called it unjustified. They're warning about it. It creates a risk of a unique and unprecedented form of persistent surveillance. So my point with saying this is it's been going back to 2017, the Border Patrol announced.
And tell me
they were so this is how far back.
And they get good. How big of a push do we need until we get to the point of China, though? Like, you know what I mean? Until like, because like, so we saw in Houston that all the businesses had to put cameras on the front of their businesses. Remember this?
Well, they've installed
it. So think about it like that. Like, as like you said, it starts in the airports. And this is
they get everyone else to do the police.
This is obviously hypothetical, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they would have to give up access to those security cameras and things like that.
Well, they have to. That's part of that local ordinance. They have to provide the footage.
You asked what I'm trying to say. How close are we to that Chinese system?
No, facial recognition is a core component. That's the first step. Is it? No, not that facial recognition, but like in conjunction with like at the same time the facial recognition is being tested in the airports, businesses are being forced to like put cameras in front of their houses.
Yeah.
People are putting more cameras, Amazon cameras and stuff on their doorbells and
stuff.
And like as technology progresses, like think about it like this. In 10 years, that your doorbell camera is going to be like probably as good as like an iPhone 13 camera. You know what I mean?
They're already getting a lot of people's lives. People forget that when you get that doorbell camera specifically, you're also giving away your neighbor across the street's privacy because they see they're good enough now that they can see the person across the street's front doorstep too.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not just at your front door, but you're also showing whatever's in its view. And this is something that people have to contend
with. So weird. Because they were so upset about the red light cameras.
The big thing, though, I want to say is like the facial recognition is a core component of what the Chinese system is about.
Yeah.
Once they have this facial recognition,
this is private. You can do it if you want.
With digital identities, then it will be a system that you can't get away from because that's what the whole thing is about. Is once your face print is connected to a digital ID with a digital wallet and all that, that's where you get. Like I just read a story today about in China, they were penalizing some protesters. By basically, because, you know, over there, they use WeChat, which is a Chinese app that does everything. It's like Facebook, Twitter, PayPal, all in one. And that's what you have to pay. You get your bank account. You get your everything. Like that's the one thing that you're through. That's your connection to the world. And that's also where they lock people out. We also saw them using COVID apps combined with facial recognition to turn you off, basically. So people who using the COVID apps, they traced where people's location was. Using the facial recognition, they could see where they were. And then they turned off their access to public transportation. They did it to a bunch of activists a couple months ago because they knew they were planning to go do these bank protests, and they did it the day before, so none of them could go anywhere. They turned them off, and that's where it's going. Probably it's like facial recognition is so core to that kind of system,
exactly,
because you have to be able to find people everywhere at any time.
We'd have to be naive to think that like it's not possible to come down the pipeline to us. They just need a better justification than they did in China. Exactly. You know what I mean? It's rougher to explain it, even despite the fact that like they've been proven obviously through the NSA and things that they're collecting everything anyways. It's just like, is it admissible in court? You know what I mean? They can use it for whatever they want. They can use it for whatever they want, but is it admissible in court? And then whenever it's admissible in court, I suppose, because it has been legislative.
They'll argue that
when it's above the table, right?
But
but it always exists.
You knowingly give up privacy by consenting to go to the airport and this and that, you know, because you don't have to fly. It's a privilege. It's, you know, it's all that kind of stuff.
I mean, well, they could argue that and also say, like, get your own plane.
Yeah, but then they monopolize the airways, right? I got one more thing I want to add to this story before we move on.
I thought I'd have a jetpack by now
and hit some music. But look, this last thing I want to say
the
last thing I want to say on this is this was expanded by the Biden administration. So everything I was just talking about before that was under the Trump administration. So if there's any Trump supporters,
you mean
just
the
like,
Democrats and the Republicans did something that lined up together,
both progressing the same agenda.
Imagine that. Crazy,
but it's interesting because you know people tend to see the Republicans on the right side as more business friendly, whether that's true or not, right? But in this case, it's interesting because the Biden administration, where Trump was pumping up the Border Patrol and giving them facial recognition powers, giving the TSA, the Biden administration has been working directly with this company called Clearview AI, which has one of the largest facial recognition databases in the world besides the FBI themselves. And so in January 2021, I was writing about how the FBI was working with and the Biden administration was working with Clearview AI to look at all the videos of January 6th and locate people using that. So they take that and this private company, which has built this massive database, most of it based on public info that we gave up with our own selfies and stuff like that. They just have an algorithmic tool that gather all that data and put it in a database, and then they sell it to cops and sell it to governments. And so in this case, the Biden administration contracted with them and said, help us find all these terrorists, these domestic terrorists. And there was a June 2021 report from the U.S. Government Accountability Office, basically warning again, saying how widespread the use of facial recognition tools are right now, basically saying that 42 different U.S. government agencies have facial recognition technology. Everybody from the Bureau of Prisons, the DEA, FBI, Secret Service, and then NASA, Fish and Wildlife Service, the Postal Service.
Hey man, NASA needs it.
You know, so it's like every government agency is now kind of dipping their hands.
Fish and Wildlife's a little
funny. The IRS should have it.
Do they have fish face scanners?
I mean, I'm sure like, they can all come up with some way to justify here. It, right? Yeah. Like NASA's exactly. like, well, we need facial recognition for security grounds.
Exactly.
Like,
I'm Everyone sure they needs can just it for
argue
security.
For anything like that.
And the IRS needs it for, of course.
So one last point is the FBI.
Come get your $600.
The FBI has the biggest database, more than likely, in the world. The FBI's database is estimated to have at least 100 million face prints, and they've been building it since 2013. And
that's just can we create third of the country?
Yeah.
What about fake prints? Can we like create that?
I have seen things. It's like different makeup you could try.
Just like to help jam the system.
But I think most of that is all theoretical. I mean, and this is the problem. For example, people are like, oh, this is why we should wear face masks. But the AI is just getting smarter. In fact, there was at least two different companies that during COVID came out and said that their AI was training using face masks.
Yeah, I saw
that. So that it could learn better how to detect people through the eyes and through the ears and not without the mouth and this and that. And so I'm not saying you couldn't do that to try or the makeup and stuff, but it seems like they're already able to use that.
No,
like,
you have to do damn
They can figure like that doesn't look like a human
like,
face.
You have to like be Gandalf or something different.
Like, no, but then well, also it's like the wilder you go, Gandalf. Though, you're probably going to stand out. Maybe the idea is the opposite, right? There's people talk about this idea of the gray man tactic where you just blend in. Now you don't wear flashy anything. Nobody's
like they
gonna
said
remember.
How the
you know gray jeans, gray pants, just the normal sort
the
of
gray man.
The gray man text is what it's called. Yeah. Like you don't want this. Somebody be
nondescript.
Oh, he had a ponytail and a Pokemon shirt. You know, it's something you're gonna remember instead of like I don't know. He was gray, kind of black clothes. Or, I don't remember. Yeah. There's no details, right? It's just
five,
blends
six,
in,
6 foot.
No facial.
Somewhere 5 to 6 foot.
So that's how you recognize the other activists. They're dressed in gray. They make no facial expressions.
All right. Yeah, maybe that's the tactic. Guys, you're listening to Live Free, Think Free. We've got a couple more stories tonight we're going to go through, including continuing this conversation with AI in a moment. We're going to play some music, but I'm excited for this next one we get back because you found this story about this Google chatbot.
Oh,
and I've been talking to friends. I just heard it on the radio. You guys might have heard about it. We're going to talk more about that. And I think overall, looking at 2023, this is one of the things. AI is getting smarter. More and more people are using like this chatbot. I had a friend who was like, dude, I tested out the chatbot. It just wrote an essay for me that would have taken me 20 hours to do, and it did it to me in 25 minutes. Like, we're really moving into some interesting territories.
Jeffrey's
with all
been
these...
tripping about the chatbot.
Yeah, so we're going to get into that and more, guys. We'll come back in just
Maybe
a couple
get
moments.
Our radio show together.
Let's get to a song. We're going to play Ganesha, That Day Long.
That day
Stay
long.
Tuned. We'll be right back.
33. I ain't giving up, man. I ain't going out like that. But it's getting dark out, and now I'm feeling lost right now. I ain't giving up, man. I ain't going out like that. But it's getting dark out, and now I'm feeling lost right now. There's somewhere better for me, and I can feel it on the inside. The water's calling to me, and I'm giving into the tide. There's never been a better time to not be me. It feels like I'm fading, gone before you see. Now, it's just another night that I'm stuck in this skin, and I don't feel much like me, yet here I am again. Steady staring in the mirror like I don't know my own reflection. The voice is taunting me, but I'm just trying to forget them. So sick of this pretending I'm fine when I'm not. Fuck. You can keep smiling and lying while I rot. I ain't giving up, man. I ain't going out like that. But it's getting dark out, and now I'm feeling lost right now. I ain't giving up, man. I ain't going out like that. But it's getting dark out, and now I'm feeling lost right now. You ever feel like you're at your lowest low, but you didn't even know? You had so much lower to sink, your pride now extinct. Now you only got one stop before you hit the bottom rock. I promise it only goes up from here, unless your path isn't clear. But me, I'm gonna get my mind right and climb out this hole. My physical body's been abandoned and left without a soul. I can't even feel it enough to know if I'm still alive. And there's no time or space, but something tells me I will survive. I will make it through anything you throw at me. All this pain is only preparation for greatness. I ain't giving up, man. I ain't going out like that. But it's getting dark out, and now I'm feeling lost right now. I ain't giving up, man. I ain't going out like that. But it's getting dark out, and now I'm feeling lost right now. I ain't giving up, man. I ain't going out like that. But it's getting dark out, and now I'm feeling lost right now. I ain't giving up, man. I ain't going out like that. But it's getting dark out, and now I'm feeling lost right now.
All right.
That was 33. What's up, guys? That was my new album.
We're interviewing 33 on the show tonight.
Yeah,
I'm going to be releasing that January 9th, Monday, January
9th. That's exciting. Where can everybody find that, 33?
It's going to be available everywhere, Spotify, all that good
stuff. So you know how to look. How do I look? Do I have to type out 33 or do I use the two digits?
33, the numbers. 33 is here is what we'll find. If you search Spotify, all that stuff, I put 33 is here. It's a little bit easier to find it than just the number. But yeah, thank you guys for checking out. I appreciate you guys. And if you want to find out more about that album, stay tuned. I'll be jamming it here once we release it. So stay tuned, guys. Let's jump back in. We got some stories. This is what we were talking about a moment ago. Micah, you want to take the lead on this one?
Not really, but yeah, I can try a little bit here. yeah, it turns out I was like, when I saw that Google had issued a code red on anything, I had to start digging. And it turns out that it's they're kind of reacting to the popularity of the Chat GPT AI, which I'm learning more about. It turns out that it can do all kinds of tasks for you. And the reason Google's so frustrated about it is because it'll basically cut out them as a search engine. People will just ask Chat GPT, I guess, how do you say it in the hip school, like Chat GPT.
Nah, Chat GPT.
That's a long word.
That's as cool as you get.
Chat GPT. Chat G. So they're using Chat GPT.
Chat G.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's really freaking Google out, you know. And if you get a little bit more into it and you think about it, it's cutting out all the advertising in your searches. You ask it the questions.
Well, oh, man. And this just to get more specific, in case you haven't heard, I'm sure you've heard about
that
this elsewhere.
That scares Google to death.
Google is apparently, I mean, we'll see, right? Maybe this is just some marketing for their own.
They're trying to get it faster.
They want to build up their own AI tools. They've had their own for a while now, and some of you might be.
They don't want to let you go.
their bot is also equally, I think, creepy, but it's not becoming as popular. This one particularly is becoming popular right now. For example, I just heard it on the radio on the way over here, right? So it's being talked about in the mainstream. But I even had a friend
who is an activist
who said, like, hey, have you heard of this thing? What do you think about it? And not because she was hearing about it on the news. Maybe she did and she tested it out, but because she's actually using it. And she said, I use this bot and it wrote me an essay in 20 minutes of what would take me like a week to write and do the research and all this stuff. And she was asking me kind of my personal opinion, like, what do you think about this for journalism? Like, do you think people should make it clear if they're using, you know, bots to write their stuff? And I kind of said, yeah, I do think so. And she's like, yeah, it's nearly undetectable. It's that good. And I said, that's what worries me, kind of, because, you know, we're talking about that with like art and other bots and stuff like that. It is going to become more and more difficult to detect, like, what's what, you know?
The other way.
What's what, whether it's real art, whether it's real writing.
I guess that'll be something, maybe we'll just have a kind of a human feel for that. When something feels like it's processed, you know, I don't know, people eat a lot of cruddy food. Maybe it'll be the same thing. Maybe we'll have a lot of bot created amusement.
Right now they're kind of clumsy though, but if it gets better, I mean,
it's a bit of a chicken and the egg thing. Cause like you kind of asked, like, cause the person still has to put input. So they're arguing that they're still creating it because they thought of like the input to put it. But like, I don't know. That's interesting. I think it's really interesting. Like, could it truly, I guess the originality of it would depend on the originality of the user, maybe.
And maybe even that particular AI system. I don't know enough to speak too much about it, but right, each one is created somehow, each AI system.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it could be created by a robot and a computer eventually, but in the beginning, somewhere a man, human, coded this thing to do this.
It's really weird to be having this conversation so literally, you know, like so many people don't even think that the world would end up.
We got a comment from Kimberly. She says, I'm a writer, I can hear someone's voice in the writing. Kimberly,
that's what I think. So
I'm curious, like, do you think though that your perception so finely tuned that you could detect if, like, because like I said, a human had to program it, right? Or like I was saying, maybe it was when we were on the break or before the break, that this woman was saying she put her diary into it and trained it through that, right? So you can give it a human voice by training
it. If you give it a lot of input.
Yeah, exactly. And then maybe at that point it does
matter.
It's like, I think that's what's going to be the argument. Like, if you're a good writer, it'll be like, if you're a great writer and you have the AI, you'll be able to write faster because you could hypothetically
put yourself in
something.
Your style,
It could write a ton of it. And then you could go back and edit that. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of different ways I could see it being used. But, like, it is kind of, like, freaky and scary. And obviously, I think that it's concerning, too, because the ultimate concerning part of it is, like, right now it's in its, like, very adolescent phase. But when you extrapolate it, like, really far out, like, so since there is a programmer, you could limit thinking eventually. So like it's like the wild wild west, right? At first it's like the wild wild west, just like the internet, just like everything else, where it's on steroids. There's not any like regulations or rules on this chatbot. It's free. Someone just put it out there,
except for its coding.
And so people are figuring things out, you know what I'm saying? Like, someone's figuring this out and like someone's programming it. But just like China is able to control their like centralized like social media, or like another country would like make certain apps like required for functions in the real world, like this type of stuff would have like real world implications. And like when they're creating systems, they could make it to where it's like certain sides of the discussion are off limits, or certain like things don't come up on the chatbot. Like, it's basically, once the chatbot is able to be like censored, that would be like a very interesting place to end up. And I don't
see, only humans would say the other stuff.
But I don't see how it doesn't end up there. I feel like it's going to start off really awesome. Like, if people know how to use it. Of course,
it'll be really open at first. Just like every tool we use that now is highly controlled. And you're right. Like, if this bot is programmed to think that some of the ideas maybe we talk about, or let's say like
if someone people saying that it too well, they're gonna be like, what the hell?
What if the bot has been programmed to think that people, like, the science is a science, and people who say that people got hurt by COVID shots or that they weren't effective, or all these things people have been censored, that that's not reality. That's crazy, right? So somebody, the more we trust those kind of bots, just like with trusting Google, somebody goes, hey, yeah. Google, I've seen this. I like, unfortunately, I have friends and family who are like, hey, Google, tell me the answers to this question I have about life. And whatever it says, they think that's the truth.
The tool you know? Goes both ways, yeah. though.
So
right?
if the bot says, oh, those are only crazy people. Don't worry about
there's
them.
Always, right? There's always, that's the yeah. always.
What if you say that to the bot that I tell my family and they say this and then the bot says, don't worry about them. They're crazy people.
But the tool,
I mean, what do you do? I
the
mean,
tool goes both ways because like someone smart hypothetically could use it and then discern
it's a tool
what they would like to use and take away from it. And then someone who is just like not bothering with the critical thinking side of that could easily be slipped into something more directly that way or like more quickly.
Let it make decisions because, or let it
write the paper. Social media's done the same thing though. And like if you knew credit. How to use social media, you could use it to a point where you're like promoting yourself and doing it all these like positive things. And there's people who just strictly consume it to the point where it just like wastes away their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's gonna be interesting, man. Like it's gonna be weird.
Yeah, lots of interesting things to come. I mean, yeah. And so, I mean, this, again, is sort of what's coming in 2023. We probably yeah. expect to see more bots like this, more chat AI
this
like
incorporating
into our lives in these different ways.
The Internet of Things, the bots.
Considering it's right around the turn, like, you know, they'll release another, like, phone or something that has, like...
So these things might be bots, too.
Is Siri not close to this? Like hey Google crap. And
I think
shit.
They have so. these are much smarter stuff. Versions of those. But that's the thing is like, they're probably going to incorporate these kinds of bots. They're trained. These bots are getting trained that maybe that will be the new upgrade of Siri, Echo, whatever is going to be.
Like,
that
it'll be like Flubber, and you have your
so
little
machine learning
bot
all
that
the
follows
time
you
too.
Around and answers your questions.
Exactly.
so you could buy a good one or shoot the one.
Do we want to say anything else about this story? If not, I want to. This actually kind of segues to another important.
It's
one,
a fun line to go down, but I think we might have ran it.
Yeah, well, let's jump to another one that Micah and I were covering last week. You guys probably have heard of something about the Twitter files somewhere, whether you're hearing them in media saying that
I've stayed away from them because I've just seen a lot of stuff that sounds like I already knew that.
Well, that's kind of what we've talked about before is that I think that we're now though, where
like
this is Twitter files number 10. And now we're finally getting to some stuff where I don't feel like we've been saying this for the last 2 years. Like now we're kind of going
stuff.
Past that point. Really? Cause yeah, everything previous I've been telling people like, yes, is it good to get confirmation? Although again, we're just getting screenshots. We're not getting documentation that's public. It's just like the journalists who are writing about it are getting to review the emails and they're sharing screenshots. So we do know, okay, so-and-so emailed so-and-so. What's been revealed up till this is Twitter files number 10, I think, which was by this journalist, David Zweig with
How
Free
did
Press.
How select the journalists?
They selected a handful of people that I don't know if it was the team at Twitter or whoever did, but they said one of them spoke publicly and said there was no deal about what we couldn't speak or not speak about, but they gave us access through a lawyer from Twitter to the emails and they were able to like look through and look for stories basically. And then they split them up. So now this is Twitter files. Now they finally reached to how they rigged the COVID debate, which is getting a little more interesting because they're specifically showing how the administrations and the FBI have been like targeting.
They never censored true information.
What we knew was coming, right?
Is this like, what Mercola and all them are trying to start a case about?
Many of them, this could potentially give them legal ways to fight because this is the thing is, so now people's names have been named. We now have seen some emails where they specifically said, like that New York Times writer, Alex Berenson, he became really big and he got kicked out of the New York Times because he was questioning COVID publicly. The Biden administration actually specifically named him and said, we want you to focus on accounts, including Alex Berenson. So that he's already won in a lawsuit, though. But that's the thing is, I have some friends, we've talked with them before, Jason Bass of the Free Thought Project, they came before the community. They've been heavily censored and sued even before COVID, censored and banned and stuff.
Yeah.
So they tried to get a lawyer together. And basically the lawyer said, like, it's still just this legal gray area that unless your name is specifically mentioned, even if you know, like, hey, I'm being throttled and this and that, there's not anything you legally can do about it. Even though this is proving how incestuous the relationship is with FBI
and that's
Twitter and
that's
Facebook.
That's the most annoying
that.
Argument that I hear all the time. They're a private business, bro. They can
but this,
do what they want. Are they a
not.
Private business?
But what's so funny
are
now,
they a private
isn't
business?
Isn't it funny that before, like, the left people like, would be, like, the ones who, like, last year people were okay with Twitter censoring if it meant getting rid of COVID people. Now all of a sudden the left is like, more than they're a private business. They can do what they want, guys. Why this is, they're trying to downplay and basically say there's no story. This is not a story. This is just a private business consulting with the government on who should be on social media.
Everyone's
and
who in cuckoo banana fantasy land and they just like switch teams every 5 seconds. Like this, the team switching's gotten like shorter.
Because people don't have principles. And when you don't have principles, you just fucking go all over the place.
It's like a,
so this is Twitter Files 10. I just want to show a couple of tweets.
Sorry, we're getting distracted.
Number two. He's sort of recapping. So far, the Twitter Files have focused on evidence of Twitter's secret blacklist, how the company functioned as a kind of subsidiary of the FBI, and how executives rewrote the platform's rules to accommodate their political desires. Because as has been shown now, that literally 95% of Twitter's staff voted Democrat and donated to Democrats. So like there was a clear like bias within the company.
Companies aren't people, man.
And the rules favor that, right? So here we go. Now, this is where you start to get into COVID. They say the U.S. government pressured Twitter and other social media platforms to elevate certain content and suppress other content. Yes, we knew that, right? Now, what's interesting, it says internal files at Twitter that he viewed while on assignment for the Free Press showed both the Trump and the Biden administrations directly pressed Twitter executives to moderate the platform's
pandemic content. And this is just Twitter.
Content.
Never think of Facebook.
So we don't have the Facebook files or the YouTube files or the Google or any of this stuff. But clearly, there's other relationships. So, and they have emails.
Facebook files.
What was the Trump administration worried about? Guess what the Trump administration was worried about? At the beginning of the pandemic, according to Twitter meeting notes, the Trump administration was concerned about panic buying. They came looking for help from tech companies to combat misinformation about runs on grocery stores, conspiracies around 5G cell towers, and misinformation that could stoke panic.
They just threw that in there? Why didn't they just spend that energy trying to like feed some people or help people be healthy since COVID?
Well, and I hope that
while we're already doing it, Johnson, toss in the 5G.
I hope though that the Trump supporters who have been supporting the Twitter files, a lot of the people that the right wing, people who support Trump and now Elon, have been celebrating this. And I really hope that they didn't skip over that tweet to see, hey, guess what? It wasn't just Biden. This was happening before Trump left office. They were already working. They were doing the same thing, maybe for different reasons and different goals. But the point is the relationship is still there.
You're still getting fleeced.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but this is the other point. Like you said, we don't have the files, but we know based on the Twitter files, the meetings with the Trump White House were with Google, Facebook, Microsoft. And others.
So they're all getting the same.
And others.
So they're getting the same, same messages, same memos.
Same money.
And
that they got from you to control what you do.
Then we get to the Biden administration. They start focusing on, again, Alex Berenson, the former New York Times writer, high-profile anti-vaxxer
account.
Why would
you pay them money?
Is that the best picture of a screenshot?
This is, and this is what I'm saying, that we're not getting the documents. We're just getting pictures like that. So it's a little disappointing that we're not actually getting – we have to trust these journalists, which I'm not saying we shouldn't per se. But, you know, people should also want – some sort of documentation.
Why are they not?
Well, they didn't even want to know.
Wait.
That's the best you're going to get.
Isn't Elon Musk in charge of releasing those?
I thought he was in charge of the government.
He should be. Huh? Is he, though?
Well, he should be.
I'm genuinely asking.
I'm saying he should be, but the thing is, his organization is still full with FBI agents and full of CIA agents, and he's not getting rid of
them. So he can only do.
He's not going to end the relationship. That's why I'm skeptical that him coming in is some great change.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because like hypothetically, wouldn't he just be able to print
those lawyers are doing whatever
Who would be the person deciding to take? They're not allowed to. Take
I mean, I guess he could come in and say, "Hey, I'm big boss. Let's release them to the public." But so far, he hasn't been. Now, let's just show you from his Twitter account here that he did talk about this, and he's been caught. Look, he's like, you know, he's calling out stuff, saying if you say the science doesn't work, you're a racist, right? He's saying things that a lot of people that we know, including us, might agree with. But I don't trust his like he's saying this. This got 500,000 likes. New Twitter policy is to follow the science, which necessarily includes reasoned questioning of the science. Pretty basic thing. And of course, I'm sure he's getting hate mail. But you see, this is being seen by 48 million people. Like this is why people are making a big deal about it.
That's not counting people who looked over a shoulder of someone else.
Some of the basic things that people like us have been trying to scream are now being said by the richest man in the world. So people are like, "Oh my god!"
Well, he's being propped up like he's Tony Stark, but he's not.
Exactly. Know? That's the whole thing. He's the Tony Stark.
I've never really saw him as a Tony Stark type.
Well, because he's always had government funding, right? Back in the beginning, he came
from the very beginning. NASA was funded by the CIA's NQTEL firm. See how he's making fun of the corporate media, just totally ignoring. And again, like he's sharing memes that are funny for like the counterculture. That's what my thing is. I think the way they're
that one's
him in.
Pretty good. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff on there. But what I want to get to is there was one point where he was saying that. So he points to like much more to the Twitter files. First, COVID edition. follow-up piece to come next week featuring leading doctors and researchers from Harvard, Stanford, and other institutions. So we're really getting to the point where they're showing, many of whom were, of course, actively suppressed on Twitter, you know, the truth is coming out in a lot of ways. And so
do you think that this is like, are you completely hands in the air about his positioning and all this as well? Because, like, is he, like, actually throwing a wrench in anything?
I think that's debatable. There are people who are think he's the fucking most amazing thing ever.
Light is shown, it's like a limited
situation.
That's good.
Yeah, we can objectively say, hey, is it a good thing that we're getting a little bit more proof? And so
that makes him good by default?
No, I don't think so, right?
See, my question is, because, like,
you got to look at terms like.
You also got to look at what the ideas are being attached to. Because, like, we saw, like, I thought one of the cleverest things that was done during the COVID era was just really making the anti-lockdown. Somehow they were so successful at making anti-lockdown stuff a right-wing issue. And so, like, very, like, hip.
Divide and conquer.
It was very
hip. You have to make them right
for,
or
like,
left
people
so you can
to hate.
Well, dude,
for the young people who normally would have done that,
all my friends
and been like, screw this the hardest,
all
had to be against it because they were seen.
Because they weren't thinking.
And that was also only possible through, like, the Trump administration.
And would that mean they betrayed themselves?
And so, in the same kind of way, you get that type of a situation where it's like, okay, well, now it's leaked out. And it's also like, you could say the things that we've been saying for the past 2 years, but now when we say them, people are like, what are you, some kind of Elon Musk fan? Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, you're like,
it's never okay.
My God. Like,
but that's the problem.
No one ever
though.
Says sorry.
But
nobody
is the,
no one
problem,
ever goes
exactly.
back and says, like, let me correct the state.
This is why those
we
people don't
wrong.
Matter. Because people who want to judge you based on what's popular and not what's the truth are not people that are, we should, I mean, personally, I think we
this
should, or we should humor and give that to send my, that
yeah,
t- state
these
of
same
mind.
Discussions
but those people try to drive
forever.
The conversation, dude. Like, I lost most of my Houston activist friends because I got invited to speak at anti-lockdown protests. And yeah, a lot of those people were Trump supporters that happened to be speaking out because the other people, the lockdown left, they went for it, right? So all of a sudden to those people, I'm now a right-wing, alt-right, whatever, blah, blah, because that's what they were. So, Trump. Because
you didn't
Trump
have a consistent view with
so,
what they expected.
And then now it's like you said, you're talking about the Twitter thing, and
I
the FBI,
about
that's
diversity.
Just Elon Musk right-wing talking point. You know,
so
it's
about
that. It doesn't matter
about
the truth.
Ideas.
It's just about who is also saying those things. And if that's a person I don't
like,
then that's not true. So,
oh my God.
Let me show one more
thing. What about just being consistent, like you said, with principles? If you're for diversity, why would you be against diverse ideas? Wouldn't you at least want to hear them and weigh them out?
They don't mean it.
Or do you
way.
Think
don't
you,
you
can't
get
do that?
Started on that shit. That's
weighing.
Check this,
this ain't
out.
Free Thinker Radio. Just live free, think free. Give me a beer.
Check this one out. Last one on this Twitter thing. This is important, though. The FBI actually did respond to all this. Like, the media is ignoring it, right? And this, their response
their
is just gaslight. Like,
we didn't spend that much of your money.
Do you want to see the FBI's response? I mean, this to me is like,
probably.
It's like.
I think our audience really does.
If they haven't seen
what
it.
What about that part? $3.4 million.
The only thing that matters is what they say, because they basically just did
you
downplay
paid
it.
That much money for them to control what you read. You need a person like that?
Here we
$3.4 million.
It said that, they said that basically none of this, there's nothing to see, and that it's sad that conspiracy theorists and others are feeding the American public misinformation with the sole purpose of attempting to discredit the agency. Basically, they said there's nothing to see here. They are trying to normalize companies having that close of a relationship with the FBI, with the CIA. There was literally...
You mean they're trying to normalize corporatism?
Corporatism, what some people might call fascism.
Read that whole thing again. Read that whole thing again. You read that really fast.
Read that.
This is their actual quote. This is all that actually matters. This is their quoted words. They call the people who are reporting on this conspiracy theorists. I don't need to read that. Basically, that it's not normal, that it's completely
above.
Well,
this part's important because they said it was
board.
Above board.
Yeah, but that's not their quoted words. That's why I'm not reading
it.
I just want to actually quote the FBI is what I'm trying to do here. This is their actual words. But that is summarized what
conspiracy
they said. They're saying
theorists.
That there's nothing to see here. Again, they're downplaying it, but they literally use the word conspiracy theorist, and they're claiming, which you have all these journalists who used to be left-wing, and they still consider themselves left-wing, like Matt Taibbi, who worked for Rolling Stone, but he doesn't fit in with those people anymore. Now they call him right-wing. He's a right-wing. Anybody who's reporting on this is being smeared as just a right-wing.
Hey, whoever this writer was at least had the courtesy to call it collusion.
Yeah, it was collusion. And it is collusion. But do you see how, because the FBI, which is the top cop of America, they use something like that. They say only conspiracy theorists believe in that. That gives the other people who already think this crazy. The FBI doesn't even think there's anything here.
No, it just makes them look at an IBM being a conspiracy theorist.
And then you, it to that person, that means, no, we've always been at war with East Asia. The government's always worked with social media companies like that. There's no big deal about it. What do you mean? That's not weird. There's nothing wrong with that. Of course, collusion. They should be working with them hand and foot and hand in hand. You know, they should be.
Maybe they're going to look up this Ben Weingarten guy and get him for daring to say that.
Interesting thing was that Elon Musk also tweeted. They showed a screenshot that there was a Slack channel in the Telegram. In the Twitter company called Fauci Fan Club. So, I mean, this clear bias with the people who are running Twitter while during this whole thing that they wanted to shut down anybody who had a negative.
Wait, they had a Fauci fan club in Twitter?
Oh, no. Yeah. Well, in their work channels, on the Slack channel, they had a channel called Fauci Fan Club. And they also had so many FBI agents. Yeah, they're supporting him.
That's funny.
They showed one tweet where Trump tweeted saying,
"Puppy killer,
we should tell Americans not to be afraid." And they asked somebody else in Twitter, can we get him for violating policy? Because Trump said sometime in the early days of COVID, America, don't be afraid. This isn't a big deal. And whatever you think about Trump, the fact that the people at Twitter working with the FBI wanted to take him down because he was telling people not to be afraid should tell you about how they feel. Wow. They want you to be afraid. They want you not to think about this stuff. Oh my
God. Go ahead.
Yeah, last story for the night, guys. Michael, you pulled this one up. This one is important because of the man involved, this Fink guy.
Yeah, it turns out, you know, so much money has gone over there. The World Bank is now estimating that rebuild. You know, now we're talking about the rebuild. We haven't even finished the non-declared
war. Did they ever rebuild Iraq?
That's an ongoing.
They're working on it.
They're trying. It's only been 20 years.
They got some guys.
They're saying it could be as much as $630 billion. Watch, it's going to be more. Ukrainian President Zelensky and the CEO of our good buddies BlackRock, Larry Fink.
Cool.
Do some research on that, right? No doubt. A cool 630, right?
Yeah.
Billion.
Yeah.
The B.
Cool.
Larry Fink. You may remember that name from back in the financial crisis. He held a video meeting Wednesday, and they agreed to coordinate the reconstruction of Ukraine, you know, helping to make sure it's a corporatist regime as well. You're going to have some BlackRock mixed in with a little bit of Ukrainian whatever he is, Zelensky. So Zelensky said that he and Fink agreed to focus in the near term on coordinating the efforts of all potential investors and participants in the reconstruction of our country, channeling investment into the most relevant and impactful sectors of the Ukrainian economy. You can bet who's going to be controlling that.
And this isn't like just like a random story. Like this, Larry, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. We were talking about BlackRock.
Yeah.
Corbett did a really good 3-part series about how BlackRock owns the major shares in Coca-Cola, Walmart, most of the major companies in the world.
Yeah.
And they're owned by a really secretive group called the Vanguard Group. And this Larry Fink dude, who also does sit on the board of the World Economic Forum, is connected to all of it. And like you said, since back
then. It's a nice circle.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. And, you know, they are always the end club, you know, right? They're the end crowd. So, yeah, it goes on. And I think maybe America needs to ask, how come we're spending so much? And, you know, we've talked about American troops going over there to teach them how to fire. And some people have said the missiles are so bad that they have to go over there and fire them because no one else can. So does that, I mean, who knows what's true? I heard an article today, or a story on the radio on NPR, you know, talking about different aspects of what's going on here that was pretty alarming. I think most people don't. No, and I really don't want to claim some of the stuff they were saying, but it's just a step away from us shooting at Russians. I mean, not these three guys, but American people.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's pretty severe. Why? You know, I mean, I don't want to go on too long about that, but now we've got BlackRock involved.
It's not a good sign.
Yeah.
And one other thing I'll add to that is, since we were just talking about Musk and Twitter a moment ago, Musk's Starlink is what is helping the drone program in Ukraine. So it's not just giving people internet all over the world. It's he's working with the military with his low satellites to do military stuff. Like, and he's one of the biggest contractors anyways. Just want to add that in there. He's helping the Ukraine situation too.
I feel like BlackRock's the kind of guy, the kind of company that gives you a deal in like a dark room. And they're just like, kind of like, yes, you will repay your debt, not in dollars.
It's crazy.
It's something that's like, you know, it's like,
it's crazy. You know, we got people living under a bridge. We've got all kinds of problems, and we're spending billions of dollars to help Ukraine fight Russia. I mean, I don't even know how we wrap our minds around it and how everybody gets so excited, you know?
I think people aren't even really paying attention. They just wave that flag when they're told it's popular to do it. Now they forgot. They don't care. And people don't feel the hurt now, so it's okay. Like, oh, whatever. Stimulus. That's the future. One other thing I want to mention real quick, just tied to this, Mike, I found this independent article published earlier this week, and it was actually an honest opinion in the mainstream news. It's called "It's Time to Stop Pretending What's Happening in Ukraine is Anything Other Than a U.S. Proxy."
And that's kind of the direction I wanted to go, because, you know, we've been talking about this for some time now. And you're right. The average American, I don't think they know much about it. They've been taught forever. Russia bad. Red Dawn. Red Dawn 2. Red Dawn come along. It's just ridiculous. So, like, it's the same thing. You know, it's the Red Scare again. It's all this stuff. And I'm not trying to pretend that Putin's, you know, some kind of philanthropist or something.
Yeah. But he's no Bill Gates.
He's no Bill Gates.
Oh my God,
dude. But I mean, how much of our business is this? Is it wrong to say now everyone's going to say, look, you know, you're an isolationist, you're this, you're that. No, I want us to trade with people. I want us to go to school. I want us to visit places. But why do we have to get dragged into this? I mean, do y'all know why this is going on?
I don't think most people do. All I remember is that there was some Nazis fighting in the Ukrainian war, but we're not supposed to talk about that. And they're not really Nazis, even though they got Nazi symbols on them. And this former actor who just came to the U.S.
I heard he used to play the piano.
He's a good guy. We're supposed to love him. That's all I heard, right? That's all I know. But
I saw our Congress just falling all over him.
Oh, yeah. He came and visited last week.
To get more money.
And he literally said, weapons, weapons, weapons. We need more weapons. And so I'm sure that's good for, what are those companies sitting in the back? Lockheed Martin, Military Industrial Complex, all of them. I'm sure they're doing great with
this. You've seen it once. You've seen it a million times.
So I want to recommend people read this article.
It's the same old
I'm going to link this, just like everything will be linked at thehoustonfreethinkers.com.
Is this the next one?
This is worth reading. I recommend reading. It's not very long. But just if you haven't heard this opinion that, hey, maybe what's going on in Ukraine isn't just some people needing help from America and democracy and Russia, Putin's bad guy, then you might want to start with this article and some other pieces that might give you, a different perspective. So
one more perspective, I saw a headline that said we've spent more, and I know there's inflation and I didn't get too much in it, but it says we spent as much already in Ukraine as we spent in Afghanistan and Vietnam. I haven't had time to fact check that one, but I saw the headline and I was like, oh my God, that can't be true.
Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, the amount, like, they've been just
there is inflation on that trajectory.
They've been just shoveling money over there. We didn't mention this, but I want to mention it real quick. This bottom of this story here says that not only is Zelensky getting help with BlackRock, he's going to be going to the World Economic Forum. He's going to be speaking at the World Economic Forum in Davos in Switzerland next month.
When in the history of Russia did you ever hear of Russia just winning the war in the beginning? No, every World War I, Napoleon, World War II, they're all getting their butts kicked, kicked, kicked. And then out of nowhere, they come back. And it's like with a vengeance. So I don't know if the West is, and Zelensky's also said he's changed the West and given them confidence and such.
Well, they think by giving him nearly $1 trillion that he's going to be able to win this war. And I do think that what we should, as far as what's happened in 2023,
doesn't seem very confident.
This, I think, is going to be something that we're going to remember. Look, they're starting the year January 2023. They have Davos, the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, all those people. They meet at the beginning of every year. They're starting the year with the Ukrainian president going there, where Larry Fink sits on the board. He's going to be going there rubbing elbows with all these powerful people. And so that could signal some big shift going on after that. Whatever that means. Like you said, Russia's not just going to go down or anything, but I wouldn't be surprised if all of a sudden we're being told some, oh my God, it's time to go in and finish the job in Russia after he comes to World Economic Forum begging for money and asking for help.
And they already put him on the floor of Congress. So,
now he's,
are going to be falling out of the incubators this time?
I do want to mention one other thing, though. You know who else is meeting in January?
How long will we
be? The Greater Reset. We're meeting at the same time at the World Economic Forum, January 18th to the 22nd. You guys can watch online for free. It's literally 3 weeks away from today. And if you're in Texas, you can go in Central Texas, Bastrop, Texas, right now till Sunday. John Bush, who's hosting in Texas, they're doing a buy one, get one free. So if you buy a ticket, you get one for free. You take your friend. If you want to get a VIP ticket, you go in for free. And I'm hosting the one in Mexico if you can come down. But if not, the event is totally for free. Happening again in Texas, Central Texas, Central Mexico. We got,
I'll be in Mexico.
40 plus speakers, including Del Bigtree, a lot of other really powerful people. But again, the reason I mentioned this in tying with the last story is because, okay, they're bringing their heads together for 5 days in Davos, Switzerland. That was the original motivation behind this event that we do, is trying to bring together people from musicians, people talking about alternative technology, getting off big tech, people talking about mental, physical, spiritual health, people talking about building parallel systems, people getting out of the home, you know, the mainstream schooling system, homeschooling, building communities, homesteading. There's people here talking about beef shares. There's vegan permaculture. There's everything. And people like Del Bigtree, who's been talking about vaccine dangers for a decade plus with his documentary Vaxxed and Vaxxed 2. Christian Westbrook, Ice Age Farmer, is going to be.
We're talking about BlackRock. I see Tom Woods is on there. Maybe he'll speak some economic truth.
Yeah, Tom's going to be speaking.
Did you confirm the ska band?
I haven't yet, but we're working on that. And yeah, we're going to have some local music, some music in Texas and music in Mexico. For those who know Zuby, he's this rapper. Where's he? Yeah, right here. Zuby.
Beef Initiative.
He does a lot of different work. He's got a podcast. He's from the UK, but he became very well known besides his music in COVID because he's been outspoken and vocal. He's been on Rogan and some other podcasts and whatnot. Well, he's coming down to Texas to perform. I'm going to perform in Mexico.
Says 33.
Catherine Austin Fitz is going to be speaking online. So yeah, awesome. Check it out. TheGreaterReset.org. Again, you can watch for free from the comfort of your home on the website the day of. You don't even have to register with your email. You just show up on the website and it'll go live. But if you can, I promise you it's worth coming in person, and we make it super affordable. The event is free for Mexicans in Mexico. So if you know a Mexican down here, you might think they might enjoy this.
It's they could totally go to free. Mexico and see it for free.
They could see
except
it for
the gas.
Obviously, yeah. And if they're living there, then obviously, you know, it's a little bit less. But yeah, that's the whole goal there is they want to get together, and they've been meeting now for 50 years. We're a little bit behind. But the goal is like, let's get together our bright thinkers and, you know, doers and say, what is our 2023 going to look like? What's our 2030 going to look like? Because, you know, we're going into 2023 for everybody who's worried about the Great Reset, technocracy, Agenda 2030. You got 7 years. These people are calling this the decade of transformation. I'm not saying their plans are going to be done and that they're inevitable, but
they got a plan.
We can see. Yeah, they got a plan. And most of us can't even figure out what the hell we're doing tomorrow. You know, so I think it's important for people like us who are having these conversations to really think like, what am I doing to make sure with the chatbots and the facial recognition and everything else we covered tonight?
Food.
That I stay human. Food, you know, all these different, that the money, you know, the inflation, all this stuff. Like, what are you doing? Because they're thinking, they're meeting with Larry Fink and the Zelensky and the Schwabs and all the Bill Gateses and all these people together. And I think it's important for us to be thinking about what we're doing, whatever that means. That's up to you to decide.
Yeah, what are you doing with your freedom?
What do you do with it? And that's up to you guys. So,
what do you do?
I think that's an important thing. And I keep speaking about it more and more so because in the face of all this, you know, we got to make freedom sell. So what do you do with it? I mean, come on. It's wide open. Everyone out there, everyone, you know, that's joined us tonight, everyone that thinks like this, what are you doing with your freedom? I have to ask myself this, you know, quite often. Maybe we should only be doing the best things. I don't know
what are the best things for you in 2023. That's up to you. We can't tell you that, but if you know what it is, if you haven't found it yet, find it, because I have a feeling the more people who are focused on what's best for them and their family, their community, their people, then we'll probably all be better off. It doesn't mean we're going to survive. No one gets out of here alive.
Oh, thanks, Derek.
No one's getting out of here alive.
Only what I say is best.
But maybe life will be worth living, right? Maybe it'll be worth living, even if it ends all up in a mushroom cloud of war between
Russia. You get out there and you do something that matters.
Yeah, at least.
Well, matters to you.
That's what's up.
With that said, let's go ahead and end with another song. We're going to end with Total Chaos, War is a Racket.
War is a Racket.
In light of the Ukraine.
This goes out to Zelensky and Putin.
Yeah, and all those Biden Raytheon and money warmongering.
Yeah.
And to the Trump administration.
Shout out to the racketeers.
All the war racketeers.
Bush.
Enjoy your New Year's. Be safe, guys.
Hey, we can't stop.
Test your drugs. Test your drugs and call an Uber. All right. See you next week. Peace.